And now, Talk Radio 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with your hosts Richard Musio and Joe Vecchio. Now, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm your co-host and announcer, Joe Vecchio. And welcome to this beautiful Sunday night in Southern California, where we are being heard in Orange County, L.A. County, San Diego County, Riverside County, all the way up to San Luis Obispo, out to the desert. And tonight we have 1.5 guests. We have, let me introduce the man of the hour, CPA Richard Musio, and we have his daughter with us tonight, and also our special guest, Vlad Kogan. But over to you, Richard. How you doing?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks, Joe. These are the two youngest people who've ever been in studio with us old guys, because Joe and I together, we hit triple figures in terms of age. But we got a 15-year-old, and Vlad, you're 26?
Right.
26, okay.
Excellent.
But my daughter Demi wanted to come in and check out what we do on the radio show now that she's out of school for a couple of weeks. So
Demi, do you want to wish everybody a happy holidays, et cetera?
For everyone out there, have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and a great New Year.
Excellent. Thank you.
Demi, where do you go to school?
Canyon Crest. Performing Arts School.
What's your grade point average? What's your grade?
4.0, obviously. But AP classes, it'd be 4.1, but, you know, I have to take it slow now.
What's your favorite class?
Choir right now.
Yeah, this girl can sing.
Wow.
Trust me, she can sing.
And you said it's a what kind of arts school?
Performing arts.
Okay. Well, we'll be hearing more from you, I'm sure, in future shows. Yeah. So, but Richard, I wanted to also talk. We were at Star San Diego's luncheon Wednesday with Gary Aguirre, who was one of our guests earlier. And I want to thank you for booking that event. What did you think? I thought that was a pretty special day, don't you?
Oh, I thought Gary was excellent. I mean, he had some technical difficulties, like his glasses broke and his computer didn't work. But, I mean, his subject matter was incredible. Those of you who haven't heard his show, you can hit our website, www.iymoney.com, or you can hit KFMB's website, because all the podcasts are up there. And he talks about sort of the same thing at Star as he did on our show. So if you missed either Star or our show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast. But again, Gary was the SEC whistleblower who went after, at the time, the largest hedge fund in the U.S. and got fired by the SEC because certain people associated with that hedge fund were sort of exempt from, shall we say, scrutiny, most notably John Mack.
Well, very politically
powerful, connected, exactly.
Big donors. And next thing you know, Gary gets fired. And next thing you know, he sues for wrongful termination. And did you know this? He had to actually use the Freedom of Information Act to get his own documents back for his law case. I just found that out.
Yeah, too. Correct. He ultimately got his documents back after, I guess, trying for about a year under the Freedom of Information Act. But the interesting thing was, after he presented, he was sitting at the same table with myself and one of our actually other guests on this radio show, Bill Lirak. And boy, you should have heard what these guys, I thought Bill was going to have a heart attack. He was getting so upset about some of the people they were talking about.
Well, let's give him a shout-out, to he and Michelle, because they hosted a beautiful party on Friday, and actually another one today, but I wanted to just thank them, and you were there too, Richard. It was a hell of a nice event, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Friday night was a lot of fun, and the cupcakes from Michelle's organic cupcake store cups, incredible. They were like a piece of art. I was afraid to take one because I didn't want to destroy the picture.
Yeah.
And incredible stuff. Yeah, so thank you very much. That was a lot of fun.
That was great. But anyway, tonight we have a wonderful guest, a special guest, and it's so great to have a book that's published in San Diego about San Diego that has such vital information. And with that, the book is called Paradise Plundered, and the subtitle is Fiscal Crisis and Governance Failures in San Diego. And the authors are two professors and one PhD candidate, Stephen Erie, Scott McKenzie are the professors, and tonight in studio we have Vlad Kogan, who worked on the book with them. So welcome, Vlad.
Thanks a lot for having me here.
Our pleasure. So I thought we'd get into your bio a little bit and find out how you found your way to San Diego. And so you were born in Russia, correct?
Sure, yeah. It's a long and twisted tale. I was born in Russia, and I grew up about a third of my life in Russia, and I moved to the United States in the early 1990s to the San Francisco Bay Area. And I've been in San Diego since about 2003, off and on. And so my background originally was in journalism. And so I worked as a journalist in San Diego, covering local politics, covering local education politics. And so when I went back to grad school, I knew I wanted to study local politics. And so I got involved in this great book project with Steve Erie, who's a professor at UCSD. And we spent the last 3 years or so finishing up this book.
So what put you onto this subject matter? Because Steve teaches a course, and you were a student.
So Steve, so UCSD, we have one of the top political science programs in the country, and we also have one of the top within political science, some of the top people that study urban politics. And so Steve taught a class in urban politics that I was in, and around the same time, he and Scott were really starting to get some progress on this book, and they needed a research assistant. And so Steve asked me if I was interested in coming on, giving some of my journalism background, some of my knowledge about San Diego. And over the next 3 years, I sort of slowly worked up myself up into the lineup, you know, first as a research assistant, then as a co-author, and well, as a co-author now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I see that the book is broken up into three basic parts, and which part did you mostly focus on yourself?
I focused mostly on post-1990. So the book, you know, there's some history about San Diego, how we got here, but the puzzle that we try to explain is since 1990, San Diego has really gone from crisis to crisis, particularly dealing with the city's budget and related challenges of financing public services, paying for street repairs, and paying for public employee pensions. Mm-hmm. And so that was the major chapters that I worked on, is the pension chapter, looking at public services and looking at policy and financing in San Diego, how, you know, taxes and spending.
So here's my story about street repairs in San Diego, right? So in 2007, as a lot of the listeners know, I'm a long-distance endurance runner, right? So in 2007, I run the Rock and Roll Marathon, okay? And so I'm at mile 18, and at this point, you know, I've maybe dodged about 200 potholes in San Diego City Street. So I'm at mile 18, and I'm clicking along pretty good. I'm like at 2 hours and 40 minutes. I'm going to come in at about a 3:50, which isn't bad. My best marathon ever, I think, is a 3:34. And at mile 18, you know, it's still real crowded because there's so many people in this bloody race. So you can't really, like, jump to the left or to the right or front or backwards if you encounter something. I'm about to step in a pothole. This would be in sort of where Mission Bay turns into Crown Point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about to step into a pothole, and I'm thinking, I'm either going to break my ankle or tear my Achilles. So I stride about 6 inches further to go over the pothole. Well, you might guess I was into mile 18 of the marathon. So what do you think happens? I pull my hamstring.
Oh, jeez.
All because the city of San Diego doesn't have money to fill in their potholes. I mean, they're city streets. I'm not going to do any South Park humor, but if you remember the jokes about city airlines, that's my feeling about San Diego city streets. I'm trying to pronounce that real carefully. Okay. So I had to walk the last 8 miles of the marathon just because I wanted to get the finisher's medal, because I could barely walk because I pulled my hamstring trying to leap over a pothole. And that's my story about the infrastructure of San Diego.
And you're sticking to it.
I think a lot of your listeners would you know, have similar stories, whether it's potholes, whether it's folks that go to the libraries on the weekends and see that the library is closed. And certainly this is a topic that I think hits home for many people. They see, you know, every day how the quality of public services and the quality of life in San Diego has really deteriorated over the last decade, mm-hmm. especially.
Well, getting back to pensions for a second, though, my understanding is all pensions in the public sphere, and maybe you can verify this, we're in very good financial shape prior to 2000, and then something happened. And I know we could talk about the UC Regents pension plan, because you probably have a lot of friends and colleagues at the university and the system. Maybe we could talk about what happened there first, and then get into what happened in the city and the county here. So
sure, I'll be happy to talk about it. So to give some background, I think it's important to understand how we as taxpayers pay for pensions for our employees, public employees. And essentially, what we want to do is we want to set aside money during the working lifetime of our employees, so that when they retire, there's enough money in the bank to pay the benefits that we've promised them. And we do this through a variety of ways, but primarily, while employees are working, they're earning benefits, and they're also making payments out of their salaries. And we as taxpayers are also making payments on our end. And those two pools of money go into pension funds that are managed by, in the city, we have our own pension system. At the state level, there's a couple of big pension systems, CalPERS, CalSTRS, and the UC system. And those systems essentially take the money that we set aside and they invest it. And then through the magic of compound interest over the course of decades, when these folks retire, there should be, in theory, a large pot of money there to pay for the benefits that we promised them.
Now, my understanding is Patricia Small was the UC treasurer for about 28 years, and the fund, actually, there was a long stretch of time where the employees didn't even have to pay in. She was doing such a phenomenal job.
Right, and that's true for a variety of systems. So one interesting thing is that historically, the way we've invested and we've managed these funds is the government was very conservative. So we've invested in fixed income securities, whether it was bonds, whether it was mortgages, things that paid consistent payments every year. And starting in the 1980s, we as a state actually changed our constitution. And we said, you can go out and you can invest in the stock market. And you can essentially bet on the value of stocks.
Well, that was a Proposition 21 funded by Wall Street, probably.
Right. Well, I don't know who exactly paid for it. I mean, well, you know, it passed by a pretty substantial margin.
We
know who paid for it. Right. And, you know, to be fair, for a long time, that strategy worked. And so in the 1990s, we had, in the late 1990s, we had a boom in the economy. We had a boom in the stock market. And so on paper, a lot of these pension funds looked overfunded. Mm-hmm. So and not only did we set aside enough money to pay for the benefits, but on paper, it looked like we had set aside more than enough. Mm-hmm. And so in the UC system, for example, for 20 years, neither the employees nor the state actually paid in anything into the pension system. They were living off these investment returns. And at the state level, the state legislature and the governor decided to give benefit increases to employers because on paper, it looked like there was more than enough money to go around. Mm-hmm. But as we realized in 2001 and as we realized in 2007, a lot of these investment returns were really on paper, right? And so one year you can make 20%, but the next year you can lose 50%. Mm-hmm. And so we, through in 2001 and 2007, we suffered pretty substantial losses. And
right, but to back up a second, Patricia Small got fired. She was doing a great job. In comes a new governor, and in comes some new people in the regent, Board of Regents, and they took it in an entire, got rid of her. Why would you get rid of someone who's doing, you know, a pretty good job, even if it is on paper?
Right, and so that, you know, during this period, as we go from fixed income securities to these more aggressive investment strategies, all sorts of government agencies, I think, thought that they could have a strategy to beat the market. And they brought in, you know, hedge fund managers. They brought in folks that thought they had the magic.
Yeah, so let's hold that thought. We'll come right back to It's Your Money, Not Theirs after this short break.
It sure looks like it. And he's got a dog on his board, too.
Awesome. The dude can serve, bro.
Well, of course, young man. Santa can do everything. Have you been good boy this year?
Yeah, but my car's been bad.
No worries, son, because ho, 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 I'm here to help spread the news to all of San Diego that Toyota Carlsbad is huge savings on new and used Toyotas.
Oh. Toyota Carlsbad?
Yep, right now during the Toyota-thon at Toyota Carlsbad, you'll find huge savings on your favorite Toyotas.
What kind of savings?
Oh, really big savings with factory rebates, low APR financing, and some really killer lease specials.
Dude, I could use low payments.
What's that, little buddy?
Dave, what's he saying?
Toyota Carlsbad also has a huge selection of certified used Toyotas.
Gee, Santa, thanks. I'll paddle down to Toyota Carlsbad today.
Yeah. Way to go, kid!
Financing approved credit offer expires January 3rd.
See all the huge Toyota-thon savings going on now at ToyotaCarlsbad.com.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
When it comes to your vehicle, trust the experts at Rapid Transmissions to keep you safely on the road this holiday season. Rapid Transmissions is offering a limited-time-only holiday special good through the end of 2011. That's right. This holiday special will not last. Stop by any of Rapid's three convenient locations in San Diego at 3905 Convoy Street, Escondido at 859 Broadway at the 78, or 8861 La Mesa Boulevard to receive a complete transmission service, an engine oil change, and a 21-point maintenance inspection on most vehicles for only $99.95. You are already saving $70 off the transmission service alone, and a 21-point maintenance inspection on most vehicles includes underhood, undercar, and brakes. Spend this holiday season with the ones you love, rather than stranded on the side of the road with a large automotive repair bill. Take advantage of the $99.95 holiday special before it's too late. Call now, 800-562-7675. That's 800-562-7675. Or visit rapidtransmissions.com. Happy holidays from Rapid Transmissions.
Duncan Newman here for Newman Replacement Windows. I'm pleased to announce the opening of our new 10,000 square foot showroom on Morena Boulevard. Stop in and experience what sets us apart from other window companies in Southern California. When you hire Newman, I guarantee that our work will be done on time and as promised, and your home will always be treated with the utmost care and respect. That's the Newman Advantage. For a free in-home estimate, call 877-7-NEWMAN or visit newmanwindows.com. License number 570-472.
Have you ever wanted to go solar but felt the initial investment was too high and the payback too long? Solar Alliance of America has developed the number one rated solar energy program in the country. Imagine owning your own solar electric system and having the state and federal government and your utility savings pay for 100% of your system. Tune in every Saturday at 4 p.m. to listen to Artie Rose from Solar Alliance of America explain how it all works. Or call 855-SOLAR. That's 855-SOLAR. Find out the facts. 855-SOLAR. Or go to solaralllanceofamerica.com.
Beginning January 2nd, Roger Hedgecock, weekdays 3 to 6.
Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Peter Gunn, right? All right, welcome back to It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with our special guest Vlad Kogan. Back to him and Richard right now, and we'll get into the city and county pensions problems.
But hey, before that, I got to tell my funny story about UCSD. Right, this is sort of a protest or occupation story. So I was at La Jolla Playhouse Thursday night to watch Jesus Christ Superstar, which I highly recommend. I mean, just incredible. But before the show starts, the MC or whomever says, you know, all the stuff he says. Because he says, we also want to welcome. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mention their name. I don't want to use a generic story. He says, we also want to welcome Wells Fargo Private Client Services. And the guy sitting about two rows in front of me, he says really loudly, he goes, oh, of course, spending their clients' money. He says that out loud, and there's a lot of snickering. I mean, nobody really objects. And the guy next to me says, oh, yeah, the easiest money to spend is OPM. OPM, for those of you who don't do texting, that's other people's money. But the funny thing was nobody really objected to anything these guys said. There was laughter and some nodding of heads. And I'm not trying to rip Wells Fargo. They just happened to be the unfortunate ones who were there. But it's a really bizarre response, and it's a fairly high-end crowd, you know, at the La Jolla Playhouse. And it was very interesting to hear that.
They've had a lot of good shows go to Broadway, and I'll just tell a quickie real quick before we get back to Vlad. But I was at one of the very first shows of Jersey Boys when that first opened, I think in 2005, in October. And the show, have you seen it, Richard?
I have.
I mean, it just blows you away, and at the intermission, I'm walking up the steps, and there's Des McAnuff sitting on the aisle. And I leaned down. I said, Des, there's a real problem with the show. And he gets up. He goes, what's wrong? And I said, it's too good. Yeah, well, and that was at the intermission. Yeah. So
Jesus, I mean, I highly recommend. Get out to La Jolla Playhouse and see Jesus Christ Superstar. Paul Nolan, who played Jesus Christ. Chelina Kennedy was Mary Magdalene. Incredible. But anyway, so much for my social life. Let's get back to the pension situation. Obviously, there's been a huge pension deficit here in the city of California. We had Mike Aguirre speak about that as well.
City of San Diego.
City of San Diego. Mike Aguirre, the former city attorney, spoke about that as well at a Star San Diego meeting earlier this summer. We've had a lot of people speak about that. So, Vlad, why does San Diego have such a pension issue?
Well, first, I think, you know, to back up, you were talking earlier about your experience with the potholes, and the question is, why is quality of life in San Diego becoming so poor? And the main reason and why pensions are so relevant is that as more and more of our city budget goes to pay for pensions, there's less money left over to pay for everything else. And so about 15 years ago, we were paying about 5% of our city budget toward public employee pensions. And today, that's between 20 and 25%, and it's going to stay at 20, 25% for the next 20 years. And so it's a real, you know, it's a zero-sum game. Any dollar that goes to pensions is a dollar we can't spend on libraries or roads. And so that's why today so many people are talking about pensions. Pension reform is such a hot topic. And in the book, we try to go back and understand, why is it that we as a city are spending so much on pensions, and what were the decisions that we as a city made that led us down this road?
And what were those? How did we get in such a problem with the pension, the deficit?
And so, you know, there's a variety of explanations, but I think to summarize the entire history is to say, I think that we as a city for a long time have wanted services at a level higher than we were willing to pay taxes to support. And so public officials who got elected on a platform of delivering these services but also keeping taxes low, after a while discovered that the pension fund was a really good piggy bank, that you could take money out in various ways and use that to supplement the city budget. And so through a variety of these decisions, starting in the late 1970s and early 1980s, we really took money out of the pension fund, and we didn't fund the pensions in the correct way and made some unsustainable commitments along the way that today have resulted in a $2.2 billion pension liability. So what that means is that the amount of benefits we promised public employees and the amount of money we set aside, there's a gap between those two, and the gap is $2.2 billion. And so that's why today we're paying so much more to pensions to pay off that gap.
So you're saying it's part of an overall chronic budget issue too.
That's right. That's right. So just to give you an example, so in the 1980s, the city, we as a state just passed Prop 13. Our property taxes went down, and yet citizens in San Diego still wanted the same libraries. They wanted the same services, and the city had to figure out how do we pay for these services and give the constituents what they want. And so at the time, the city's pension system, again, was managed in the way I was telling you, and so there was a rate of return that the city's pension system had to make the pension sustainable, and that was 8% a year. So as long as pension investments were making 8% a year, you know, everything was good. And in the 80s, there was a period of years when we were making more than 8%. And rather than saying, hey, you know, these are good years, which means that probably down the road we'll have some bad years and we should set this money aside, the city said, hey, anything over 8% is surplus earnings, and we're going to take that, and we're going to take that to offset our other costs, and we're going to essentially use that to supplement the city budget. And we did that, you know, something similar in the 1990s, where we basically said, you know, we don't have the money to pay for pensions, so we're going to give pension benefit increases in exchange for getting public employees to allow us to underfund pensions. And we did that for a while as well. So a variety of decisions like that really have led to the situation that we see today.
So is one possible solution making employees contribute to their own pensions, such as the implementation of 401ks? I know Jerry Brown obviously proposed that solution for the state of California.
Well, yeah, public employees all, you know, in theory, all public employees contribute to their pensions. In fact, they pay about half of the cost. Now, in previous years, what the city has found out and other public agencies have found out is that that there's deals that can be made that make the cost lower for taxpayers and for employees. So, for example, most of us that have jobs, or many of us that have jobs, are lucky enough to have jobs, have health care provided to us by our employers because that's not taxed. It's not taxed as income. And so over the years, what the city and other public agencies have done is they have picked up their employees' share of the pension costs instead of giving them pay increases, because pay increases would have been taxed, so they have to give them more to increase their take-home pay. And so even though public employees in many cases today don't pay for their pensions directly, they agree to those terms instead of getting pay increases. So, you know, at the end of the day, they are paying a portion of their costs.
And they waive Social Security, too.
That's right. And in the city, at least in the city now, that's not true in other public agencies, but in the city, the city pension is really the only pension that our public employees get. They don't get Social Security because in the 1980s, the city convinced them to leave Social Security, again, to save the taxpayer some money.
Yeah. So, well, that's too bad. But let's come back right after this break, new sports and weather, to It's Your Money, Not Theirs, after these announcements.
Beginning January 2nd.
Hi, it's Roger Hedgecock. I'm coming to Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
You may have heard Dr. Peter Helwig is the most experienced doctor in the area in performing dental implants. It's also true that other doctors do implants. But there is an enormous difference you need to know if you're considering such a procedure. Dr. Helwig does everything you need right there in one office, his office. This means you won't have to go from one office to another as is common with the others, but also that Dr. Helwig's fee is all-inclusive. Yes, every step of the implant creation and the procedure and all follow-up care is always included. This is not the case with certain area discounters, and it's only fair you know that. If dental implants might be right for you, there is no question who to call. The doctor who does every type of implant, who does everything in one office, and who gives you one upfront all-inclusive low fee. Call Dr. Helwig now for a free consultation. 619-993-6505. 619-993-6505. That's 619-993-6505. Most insurance accepted.
What if you had to change careers? What if you suddenly needed to take on a new challenge? But what if that move was your choice? Instead of waiting for a change to find you, take control of your future with Concord Law School. Celebrating their 10th anniversary, Kaplan University's Concord Law School opened their virtual doors in 1998 and has helped over 1,000 graduates reach their education goals. Concord Law School's degree programs are designed to give you the ultimate flexibility. Don't let the challenges of work, family, or children limit your talent and potential. Go to law school from your home, office, or or while traveling. Concord's live classes and 24/7 video lecture library are just part of their interactive, affordable, and accessible legal education program. A simple click online will help you learn more. Visit concordlawschool.edu. That's concordlawschool.edu. Discover the law school that comes to you. Enroll now for the upcoming term and find your future at concordlawschool.edu.
Attention, all men with a beer belly. Research from the Mayo Clinic proves that men who carry fat in their midsection have a higher risk of health problems such as heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and even cancer. If this is you, we have good news. Because men who need to lose 30 pounds or more instantly qualify for a free trial of Sensa for Men, a clinically proven way for men to lose weight all over. To experience the most dramatic weight loss results, you must be a male over the age of 25 and need to lose over 30 pounds. Call 1-800-944-1834 now and request your free 30-day trial. In a 6-month clinical study, one of the largest weight loss studies ever conducted, participants lost an average of 30 pounds using Sensa for Men. And if you're a man, now you can too. Call and instantly qualify for your free trial of Sensa for Men. 1-800-944-1834. Strict limit of one free trial per household. 1-800-944-1834.
Tim Conway Jr. here. Every Sunday at 10 a.m., me and my two buddies Oscar and Colby teach you how to save money. Yeah, it's a brand new show called The Cash Daddy Show. It's being brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MART. Hey, everybody could use a couple of money-saving tips, and that's what we bring you on a weekly basis. So Sunday, 10 a.m., want to see you right here for The Cash Daddy Show being brought to you by 1-800-LOAN-MART, only on Talk Radio 760 KFMB. Was that 30 seconds?
27.
How about now?
If you own a business, why haven't you incorporated yet?
My business is too small.
No matter how small your business, you're risking your personal assets.
Incorporating is complicated.
Actually, it could take only 10 minutes.
I need a lawyer. That's expensive.
You don't need a lawyer to incorporate, and we don't offer legal advice. CompanyCorporation.com is a service company that makes incorporating easy. Call now for your free guide, 1-800-700-6044. 1-800-700-6044. 1-800-700-6044.
Check 1-2.
January 2nd.
Follow me to 760 KFMB.
Roger Hedgecock. Talk Radio 760 KFMB, San Diego.
The Navy is getting its new ship with the information you need. I'm KFMB's Rick Williams. And it's General Dynamics here in San Diego. They're getting the money to build the $424 million third and final mobile landing platform ship for the Navy. Union Tribune says the money was approved in a recent defense appropriations bill passed by Congress. Well, the North County Times reports this weekend that scientists at the Salk Institute have developed an experimental drug that seems to protect against Alzheimer's disease in mice, and they call it J-147. A Fantasy Five lottery ticket sold at a Mira Mesa liquor store. Well, it had all five winning numbers. Somebody's going to have a nice Christmas. It was worth more than $237,000. News brought to you by 99 Cents Only Stores. They have fashionable fleece hats, scarves, and gloves in an assortment of colors for 99.99 cents each. They make the perfect holiday gift, too. KFMB weather, partly cloudy and 58 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, with about 4 minutes left in the third quarter, the Chargers have increased their lead over the Ravens 24-7. Follow these stories and more at KFMB.com. And now the latest from ABC News.
The supreme leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-il, is dead. State TV in North Korea announced the passing of the mercurial and enigmatic leader. Kim was believed to have had diabetes and heart disease. It's also believed Kim suffered a stroke in 2008, but appeared relatively vigorous in photos and video from recent trips to China and Russia and in numerous trips around the country. Lucy Williamson of the BBC is monitoring developments from Seoul, South Korea.
The announcement has been made on North Korea's state television. The newsreader appeared wearing black, which was unusual, looking very somber, almost in tears. Didn't get through the first few sentences without her voice breaking. She said that Kim Jong-il, the leader, had died on December the 17th on Saturday, early in the morning, about 8:30, she said.
Lucy Williamson of the BBC in Seoul, South Korea. The news came as Pyongyang prepared for a hereditary succession. Last year, Kim presented his third son, Kim Jong-un, as his successor. Again, North Korean Supreme Leader Kim Jong-il has died at age 69. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Beginning January 2nd, one San Diego radio institution is joining another.
Hi, it's Roger Hitchcock, and the rumors are true. Mark your calendar January 2nd. I'll bring the talk show to Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, welcome. Welcome back to It's Your Money, Not Theirs, and that great Hawaii Five-O music. Thank you, Justin. And before we continue, we'd like to thank Lestat's Coffee House, one of our prime sponsors, for supporting our show. Great coffee house in University Heights and on Adams Avenue and Normal Heights. Great freshly baked foods. They're open 24/7, 365. If you want to, you know, the San Diego police officers and fire rescue people are in there all the time. If you want to mix and mingle with them, they're very cool. And so get over there and support them. So now back to Richard and Vlad in our show.
So I want to keep talking about 401ks and about whether, well, is there any solution for the San Diego pension mess? That's my question.
Right. So there's certainly, I think, a perception in the city that the reason why we have such problems, why we're paying so much for pensions, is that our public employees are vastly overcompensated, right? That they're retiring at 50 with hundreds, you know, getting pensions in the hundreds of thousands and really fleecing the taxpayers. And so there's people that believe that have come up with proposals that say, you know, if this is the problem, the way to fix it is really to scale back compensation and get rid of pensions and go to 401k is what we have in the private sector. And so I think there's a couple of problems with these proposals. One, I think, is it gets the diagnosis of the problem wrong. So certainly, you know, there's bad decisions we made in the 90s and in 2001. We increased pensions as a way to really get employees to support our underfunding. But those costs...
You mean increased pension benefits,
pension
right?
benefits for yeah. public employees, right? Now, but those benefit increases really represent about 15% of our pension liability. And so the rest is really due to investment losses, and it's due to decades of us as a city underfunding the pensions and using pensions as a piggy bank to pay for services we wanted but weren't willing to tax ourselves to pay for.
And so, regarding investment losses, would you say there was... some risk-taking that was way beyond reason, or was it mismanagement, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, there's certainly a lot of risk-taking in public pension funds everywhere, especially since we deregulated them in the 1980s. As a way, you know, we were all these investment funds were chasing earnings because the higher earnings, the less the taxpayers have to pay to fund the pensions. And so, you know, all public agencies did this, you know, invested heavily in the stock market. You know, in the county, we created this special investment vehicle to go after really high, you know, high yield investments that for a while worked. And then, you know, when the economy tanked, those sort of investments got hit very hard.
OPM, other people's money. Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think we have to remember that, again, you know, at the end of the day, what these people wanted was, you know, they wanted to maximize investment returns because that would reduce the cost of taxpayers and free up money to pay for other things.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that suggests that maybe too much risk was taken with regard to certain investment selections.
Right,
although,
right.
you know, when stuff works out well off the bat, you maybe don't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But to talk about, you know, how, you know, what do we go from here? Do we limit investments, or do we, you know, do we say maybe public pensions is just really too hard to manage? There's, you know, political reasons, there's political incentives for not managing them well. Let's just go to 401ks, give employees some money to set aside and let them manage them themselves. And so, there's a lot to be said, I think, for the simplicity of 401ks and the amount of risk that gets shifted from the taxpayers to employees. But the central problem is that this proposal does almost nothing in itself to really fix our problems. So as I mentioned earlier, we in the city have a $2.2 billion pension liability. And if we today went to 401ks, we would only be able to offer 401ks to new hires. And the problem is that none of the benefits and none of this liability is really for benefits promised to new hires. They're for existing workers. And all those workers are still going to be on the city's old pension system. And so nothing, you know, going to 401ks today is not going to help us deal with this massive, massive backlog that we're going to be paying off in the near future. Now, there's other parts of this proposal that folks like Carl DeMaio are pushing that's going to be on the ballot in June that try to go after the liability in an indirect way. And that's through a five-year pay freeze or a five-year freeze on, at least on the pensionable pay of public employees, and that's where a lot of the savings would be produced. Now, it's not clear what the downstream effects and problems that it would create. For example, recruitment and retention for very skilled employees like police officers and you know, engineers that have a lot of training, a lot of specialized training, that might decide, you know what, it might make sense to go work for Chula Vista or Oceanside where I can still get the defined benefit pension plan.
Or leave California for that matter.
So if we have no money, why are we going to build a new library? Or how are we going to pay for that?
Right, it's a great question. And the library
I thought so, thank you.
Right, I mean, the library is just one of many of these massive projects we're talking about. We're talking about a new Charger Stadium downtown. We're talking about a new convention center.
But what about the problem with the old Charger Stadium? I don't mean the Chargers. They're having a great game tonight, but I mean the leaking underground storage tanks.
I mean, if we
do, how do we pay for all of this?
Yeah, well, the point, Richard raises a good point. If we do build a new stadium elsewhere, my understanding is there's litigation involving the current Qualcomm Stadium site involving toxic leaks under in the soil, and that's going to be tied up in litigation for 20 years. So are we going to drive by this eyesore for this abandoned property for 20 years and get depressed every time?
So good that's, question.
But now you. You mentioned DeMaio before. He goes around town with mentioning these pension abuses. Yes, there are some people that are probably making far too high of a pension, but what percentage is that compared to everybody on in the city pension rolls?
Yeah, it's a tiny, tiny amount. I think if you look at the average pension benefit, so the average city employee that retires after 30 years of service, I think their pension benefit each year is, I think, in the 30s, so about $30,000 a year.
Wow.
Now, we have to keep in mind that that's all they get. They don't get Social Security.
Yeah.
So it's a modest pension for a difficult job for most of these folks.
And so people making a pension of, say, 50K or more, mm-hmm. in the city, what percent, was that 3%?
I don't know the exact number. It's a very small number. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, there's a lot of debate about whether public employees are overpaid or not. And if you look at just the average, it's certainly the case that public employees, on average, make far more than private sector employees. But that's because the composition of those workforces is so dramatically different,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have the equivalent of people flipping burgers that work for the city of San Diego, for example. And so if you look, the employees that are probably overcompensated are employees that are on the lower end, the less skilled employees. And the employees that are dramatically undercompensated are really the really specialized employees that have some of the highest benefits. Now, they're high by public sector standards, but if you put it in context, they actually make, including the pension, far less than they would make in a comparable private sector job.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the city has a CAO, Jay Goldstone, who I think makes, you know, $150 a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you went in the private sector, his job would be the equivalent of a CEO of a Fortune 500 company,
mm-hmm.
and he would be making in the tens of millions each
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, certainly, there are people that are retiring with very generous pensions. In most cases, it's people that have very, very specialized jobs, very high-skilled jobs that in the private sector would pay comparable benefits. Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of false advertising to point out this very small percentage.
Right.
You think there's abuse all over the system, and it's probably not the case when you average it out. So that's the point.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate to say, Joe, but the question becomes, how do we spend more money than we have as a city? And I think the answer is it's physically impossible. And one of the things that has fascinated me over the years about the history of San Diego is, for example, with regard to the redevelopment of downtown or the gas lamp and some of these public-private partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that have gone on there that I think have been rather, I don't know if they've produced the best result that they could for the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on that, Blair?
Sure. I mean, that's absolutely right. You know, when we've gone around, we've given this book talk a couple of times, and one of the points we make, it's the great irony of San Diego, is that there's folks, you know, conservative folks who complain that the problem in San Diego is big government. But if you look, you know, we have two San Diegos. We have big government that provides very heavy investment downtown that benefits a very small number of people. It's the hotel owners and it's the business owners and folks that own property downtown. And we have very small government that provides services for the rest of the city. And so historically, over the last 20 years, we've made just massive investments. You look at the investment to build Petco Park. We're talking about the redevelopment of the former naval base. And you're talking about the proposed library and Charger Stadium. Now, those are going to be dramatic costs for the city that, you know, on paper, because of the way we finance redevelopment in California, it doesn't look like they're direct costs for the taxpayers. But they're going to create enormous costs going, you know, into the next few decades, and they're going to benefit a very, very small number of people compared to a variety of other investments we can make. That would have far broader impact on the city and would have far more benefits for the rest of us.
Yeah, you mentioned the Naval. You're talking Liberty Station, correct?
Right, right.
Now, I remember when the UT first broke that story, apparently talking about the public-private partnership, the city was supposed to get 50% of the revenue. And from what my understanding is, there was about $234 million worth of real estate sold and the city got zero. Now, I was talking to somebody else today and they told me that number could be as high as $700 million and the city missed out on half of that. Do you have any numbers on Liberty Station at all?
Yes, I don't have the exact numbers, but Liberty Station, also downtown with Petco Park. Historically, we as a city have had a very hard time financing big infrastructure projects. And so when the naval base closed and we had this prime oceanfront real estate that we could develop, we hired some consultants and they came back and they said, if you want to do this right, you want to create a world-class facility, it's going to cost you, and it's going to cost you in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And this was money that the city didn't have, and it knew that its taxpayers would never be willing to spend. And so what we did with that and what we did with Petco Park is we went out and we found a developer and said, we're going to give you this land, and in exchange for you making these needed investments for paying for this infrastructure, you get to keep a large amount of the profits. And so the way these deals were structured were in a way that in the short term, we as taxpayers got off the hook for paying for the infrastructure. In the long term, we also wrote ourselves out of the contract, and so we didn't get any of the benefits, any of the dividends from these, dramatic.
Is that your understanding, Richard, that we got skunked on, the city got skunked out of revenue? Or what's
That's my general understanding. One of the challenges with the city of San Diego is they're always way behind on their financial statements and their budgets. And, of course, Mayor Sanders was supposed to speak at STAR, but he canceled. So Gary Aguirre filled in quite admirably, as I mentioned. I wanted to ask Mayor Sanders some questions, but I figured he wasn't going to answer them anyway, so I guess it didn't really matter. But the point is they're way behind on their, shall we say, financial statement process, mm-hmm. which makes it very difficult for the citizens of San Diego to really get their hands on accurate and timely financial information. I don't know why this is the case, given where technology exists these days. I mean, it's really easy to get financial statements and budgets done if you just deploy resources. But anyway, we've got to take a break.
Yeah, let's hold that thought. We'll be right back with It's Your Money, Not Theirs in a second.
Tomorrow, noon to 3.
The truth is that even the French are inclined to be stronger in terms of taking action against Iran than America. Obama is weak. They see him as weak. They are emboldened by his weakness. The entire world sees him as weak. And frankly, an interesting thing is happening. As they see his weakness and America's weakness is impacting the world, the world is now beginning to crave for more hope and change, meaning getting rid of Obama.
Sean Hannity. Tomorrow at noon.
Talk Radio 760.
KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Did you know that eating less than 1,000 calories a day can actually make your body gain weight instead of lose it? To lose weight, you have to feed your body right. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies. When I looked around for a weight loss solution that would work for me, I couldn't find one that fed my body right. So I decided to create my own. My weight loss smoothies are so effective, so powerful, that I'm going to let anyone who calls today try them free for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. Want free shipping? Because I'll even give you that. Find out how when you call for your free trial. 1-800-900-1904. And now I've made my smoothies even better because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a free 2-week weight loss trial plus my revolutionary blender bottle absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-900-1904. That's 1-800-900-1904.
Hey, Slider Crusaders. So you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows, and every day I read a new amazing customer testimonial. So if you're in the market for new windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. All right, Duncan, right now I'm in the market for new windows. I want to experience the Newman advantage. Take me through the process. How does this work?
We will set up a free in-home estimate. We are available 6 days a week, evenings, weekends. One of my professional trained salespeople will come to your home. They will come with window displays, brochures, and a wealth of information, give you all of your choices. The rest is up to you.
How long does the installation process take?
Most installations are completed in 1 day without any stucco or drywall damage, and we make it as painless as possible.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience against this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give them a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit matrixdirect.com.
Do you think you're getting your money's worth for your life insurance policy? Because if you're 40 and married and are paying more than $16 a month, chances are you're paying too much. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. And if you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-990-5779. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how much we could save you. It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%, and the call is absolutely free. Call Matrix Direct. 1-800-990-5779. That's 1-800-990-5779. 1-800-990-5779.
The countdown is on, starting January 2nd. The Roger Hitchcock Show on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, welcome back to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And we'd also, again, like to thank Lestat's Coffee House for being one of our primary sponsors, with two great locations in University Heights and Normal Heights. Get down there and have some great coffee, drinks, and atmosphere. You're going to love it. Now back to Richard and Vlad.
So when we left, we were talking about public-private partnerships, I guess specifically Liberty Station and how some really lucky people at Macmillan Companies won the lottery. But all sarcasm aside, I think the main theme of what we were talking about is how certain improvements here in San Diego have been very expensive, but only benefited, shall we say, very select groups. Liberty Station might be an example. Petco Park might be an example. Certainly the new library, I think, is a prime example, especially since we don't have money to pay for it. So, Vlad, you said that there might be other opportunities out there that might benefit more people in San Diego that might not be as, shall we say, centered towards just downtown or maybe small groups of people. Do you have any thoughts as to what those better opportunities might be, in your opinion?
Sure, absolutely. You know, it's a matter of economics. And so you can go and you can purchase multipliers that tell you, for every dollar investment in this industry, what's the broader economic impact? What's the number of jobs created? And, you know, I think we as a city, if we're going to make these massive investments, the way we should think about it is as investments. If we should think, what is going to produce the biggest bang for the buck? And so, to give you an example of how we as a city do this wrong, so right now we are debating a big convention center that we as taxpayers are going to invest, I think, about $500 million a year. And to support this project, you know, the tourism industry has put out reports saying this is going to create jobs, this is going to create economic impact. That's going to be true for it with any project. And so the question is, what's going to produce the best quality jobs? And what's going to produce the largest economic impact? I can tell you it's certainly not going to be a convention center. So the tourism industry as a whole, yeah, has a very interesting structure. Overall, you know, the vast majority of employees in this industry are incredibly low paid. It's jobs that pay very little, jobs that have very few benefits. And most of the gains go to a very small number of owners, hotel owners, corporate hotel owners, and you know, folks that live here in the city. Now, there's other industries, for example, the high-tech industry, export-oriented industries, that create much higher-paying jobs and create a much higher overall economic impact. So my co-author, Steve, you know, he could talk your ear off on this. If you look at economic multipliers, if you as a city want to get the biggest bang for the buck, you should invest in export-oriented infrastructure, things like ports and things like airports that are related to international trade, that are related to exports. Certainly not something like not a big convention center to bring in guests to stay in hotels.
Yeah, and of course, the airport and the port is another huge issue here in San Diego, because it's been said for many years that we don't have adequate facilities, and particularly as the economy becomes much more global, given our proximity to
Well, how's
Mexico.
That? How's that cruise ship? I mean, a few years ago, we were trying to develop the cruise ship industry, and I think it went away. Was there a downturn with the trade going to Mexico?
That's right. So, you know, we've invested significantly in many years on building this beautiful cruise ship terminal that, you know, is great for tourists on the cruise ships, not so great for folks that want to use the waterfront. And in the process of investing, the drug violence in Mexico picked up, and today the amount of cruise ships that actually stop in San Diego is much smaller. So again, mm-hmm. I think for a long time, partly because of the prominence of the tourism industry in San Diego, the agenda and the big debates have been about projects that are tourism-oriented. And again, the tourism industry as a whole as an economic development strategy is not a very good deal because, again, it creates very low-paying jobs for most and creates very low-quality jobs for most. So, again, if we as a city want to create high-paying jobs that have big economic impact and help us grow, it's not going to be in tourism. It's going to be in high-tech. It's going to be in a trade and export-oriented growth.
And then we have other issues that I think are unique to San Diego, if maybe you could comment on. For example, we have security issues associated with our proximity to the border. We also, I think, have security issues with regard to the fact that we are inclined from time to time to have very large fires sweep through San Diego, not necessarily the city, but the county. And I think we are sort of under capacity with regard to protection in that area.
Absolutely. You know, we both as a city, as a county, I think are woefully underprepared. You know, we are the only major urban county in the state that doesn't have a county fire department because we as a county decided in the 1970s that we simply couldn't afford to pay for it. And today, you know, you see the consequence of that in 2007 when you had
wildfires,
when you had the wildfires and you didn't have a single organization to respond to. You had a hodgepodge. You had, you know, the city fire department. You had these volunteer fire departments that raised their money primarily through cupcake sales and bake sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the funding needs, the equipment needs are dramatic. We've made some progress since then. But certainly not, you know, there's still much more that needs to be done to really make us prepared for the next big one.
And I know we brought in a super tanker that the county provided after the big wildfire, but they didn't have enough money to do it again last year. So I don't know if they're going to be able to bring in a super tanker again. But that did save some significant property when we had the last round of fires. So.
Well, yeah, but again, security, I think San Diego has unique security issues also because of the proximity to the Mexican border and all of, shall we say, the drug issues and you know, Mexican mafia issues just south of the border. So, you know, unfortunately, as we mentioned, there's not enough money to pay for everything in San Diego. I, as somebody who pulled a hamstring running the marathon 5 years ago, would just appreciate it if they would just fill in the potholes. Willie Brown told me a number of years ago, he said, you know, Richard, he said, having trash pick up on time and not having potholes in your streets is neither a Republican nor a Democratic issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's pretty good advice, but unfortunately here.
Yeah, we're winding down here. I just want to get Vlad's take on this strong mayor form of government. Has that been worked out in a positive or negative way? Do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, I think it's had both positive and negative effects. Overall, what we've done is we've institutionalized conflict. We have two branches of government that are elected through slightly different constituencies because of differences in turnout. And now if we as a city want to get things done, we really need both the mayor and the city council to agree. And when we have a Democratic city council and a Republican mayor, it makes getting that consensus very difficult.
Yeah.
And it makes getting big things done, getting major projects done, much more difficult.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time.
Vlad,
here.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciate it. Demi, tell everybody.
Merry Christmas, etc.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah, thank you, Justin Harder, Soundboard Tech, and thank you, Craig Blanke, Account Executive Extraordinaire, and Dave Sniff, Programming Genius, and the entire KFMB family. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday night.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-977-2344 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-977-2344. 1-800-977-2344. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Check 1-2.
January 2nd.
Follow me to 760 KFMB.
Roger Hedgecock. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.